This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Congratulations to you all. We have made it. 2025 Texas Rangers opening day brought to you by Whataburger. As you can see that fancy jersey right here, you got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors back in the studio, the famous Alec Medford, and here at the table with us for 2 hours until he decides he's got something better to do. It is, in fact, Derek Holland. Gentlemen, welcome to opening day.
We made it, Kevin, and this is the most anticipation every single year for any sporting event. This is going to be the biggest, and that's one of the things that I want to ask. Most of our guests that are coming along, and I'm obviously Derek as well. After this game, I'm pretty exhausted. And tomorrow, it's like a recovery day for me.
That's why they used to give you the day off.
Yeah, it's like a recovery day tomorrow where it's just like, okay, all right, so we just had baseball, we built up to it and everything, so let's take a breath. But for the players, Derek, is that the same kind of thing? Do y'all, like, after today, tomorrow, are y'all kind of gassed and everything?
No, you're waiting for this. It's like the first day of school where it's your first, like, you get the jitters out and everything. You're super excited to get back home. You've had enough with spring training in Arizona. You're ready to get back into Texas, be here with the fans. Obviously, the fans are out there, too, but it's just a different atmosphere, and you've been waiting for this. Mm-hmm. It's a clean slate. It's a new year, new beginning. You're super excited. I'm not going to lie. I could barely sleep the night before, and I didn't even play. But it's just so nerve-wracking, but you're excited to get out there and be with the fans again and just – start the season off the right way, you know? 162-0.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. See, that's what I'm talking saying. About.
It's never gonna
aren't you so
happen.
Excited I'm here?
Yeah, I am already regretting this. For everyone who's like, Derek should replace Mike. My doctor's like, no, keep the blood pressure down. And so I was curious because we were having a conversation with John Blake before the show started. And by the way, big day for him as well. They're going to dedicate the press box to him. But my question is, do you get out here, and I know you're here doing the show, but do you get out here and you're like, oh, man, I can't help but think about it. I can't feel the urge, the pull, whatever, to want to be on that field.
I feel that all the time. I'm coaching now, so shout out to my boys. They're playing. They're getting ready to play. That's why I'm leaving in 2 hours, not
okay.
Because I want to be
all right.
Better.
Better.
Northlake Community College. But they're going to play today, and it's funny as I'm watching them when I'm pitching coach, I'm trying to help them with pitching, and you just get so frustrated because things don't go your way, and you're like, all right, I just want to get out there. I want to go play. You get that urge to come back and play, and then you get here, and it's the same thing as, like, I just kind of watch, and I just sit back, and it's like, man, I know I can still do this. I know I can go out there and do it, but
your arm
now.
Said no.
Yeah, my arm, as Peyton Russell's song says, it felt something in there. So I just said no more. But that's – it's tough. I will say that. That's the hardest part is, man, you really want to go back out there and play.
For the people asking, We do not have the famous Mike Bassick scheduled on the show today. He knows he is very welcome to jump on the show with us anytime he wants. That just has not been scheduled. Maybe we need to reach out to him more directly and be like, hey, farthead.
Yeah, probably
so. You want to come on the show today?
Kevin, I'm not sure. I'm going to keep an eye out for him today because he's supposed to be down on the field.
Do you think he's really going to come up here?
No, probably not.
No,
but
absolutely not.
But no, I don't.
I am kind of.
He's welcome, though.
I'm concerned about his attire.
Oh,
he will be in a Rangers polo.
I am not certain about that.
I'm just
when Dave Raymond comes up here, we'll have a little bit of a better idea.
Okay,
let me explain why. I talked to Mike a little bit this week.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when we went to the Diamond Factory and
yes.
Derek and Mike
yes.
showed up dressed up nicely? Mike might be trying something. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Let's leave it at that. Let's leave it at that. No, he's going to be amazing. Mike's going to have a wonderful day today. I'm really looking forward to him doing his thing. Maybe so.
Oh.
But also, hey, man, the broadcast call of Eric Nadell, Matt Hicks, Jared Sandler is going to be phenomenal. This is a new rollout for everything here with the Rangers, with the new TV and everything. So very interested. But, man, I will be locked in on first pitch right here with Eric Nadell and Matt Hicks. It's going to be wonderful.
Now, we've got Derek Holland with us. I've actually wanted to talk about this for a good week or so. Can you go ahead, Alec, and give me cut number two, please?
Brom holds the ball behind his back as he looks it. Now brings it into his glove at the belt. 2-2. Swing and a miss. He gets Raleigh on a changeup just below the zone. So that's the fifth strikeout for DeGrom.
Now, do you guys get the sense, because he hasn't flat out said this, but he's made some like allusions to this. Is Jacob DeGrom having to kind of reinvent himself as a pitcher? So over the last 4 years, he's only had 35 starts. Obviously, we're all very familiar with the injury problems that he's had. And one of the things that he said is he needs to pitch smarter instead of harder. Because he can't just push it to the limits and know there's no consequences and anything like that. So, Derek, I wanted to start this out by picking your brain a little bit. Have you gone through the process of now I have to pitch smarter and not harder? And what's it like when you have to make that adjustment?
Yeah, you definitely have to do that. You got to realize now that, especially in his case, you know, he's had two Tommy Johns. So coming back, usually what happens is you always come back stronger, but it takes time. Like, I think having him be able to pitch last year, as much as I didn't like to see that because you don't really want to get him out there, it helps too because now his arm's been – it's already been used a little bit. So now coming back into the second year of the Tommy John, everything picks back up. The strength is there. Everything will take off. But as he said too, you've heard him say he's not throwing – or you've heard from other commentators, even Sandler's probably said it as well. He's not throwing as hard. He's still going to throw hard. He's still going to have video game numbers and the way he attacks his own with his pitches.
So,
but
can
it's
I give
just
the,
being smarter.
Can I give the numbers for that real quick? Because they are interesting. So he's been sitting at 95.5 and topped out at 97, which is still terribly impressive.
Yeah.
But it's down terribly? From the 99 to 100 that he usually.
Yeah, I mean, usually he's getting into the hundreds, 101. He can get it up there. I mean, he's got electric stuff. And still, even with the 97 and his off-speed stuff, that 97 is still going to look like it's 105. Because
okay.
of, that's why, like with pitching, when you throw your off-speed pitches a good amount, your fastball is going to play that much harder. It's going to be that much faster and quicker. So with DeGrom already throwing 97, yes, it's going to look like it's 156.
Yeah, what does that slider look like? I mean, that's
nasty. It's
nasty, like every time I've ever seen it, but after it's coming off of a 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
It's unfair because your timing's so messed up by that because it's like, okay, I have to catch up to 100, and then now I got to also catch up to this 93-mile-an-hour slider that's going to end up at my back foot.
Mm-hmm,
or
yeah.
For a righty, it's going to be in the other batter's box. And then on top of that, I got to watch out for his changeup. I got to watch out for, you know, everything else that he's got, and it's so hard. It just that goes to show you how hard it is to hit.
Yeah.
In general. But, yeah, it's the way he changes speeds and the way that I heard it was yesterday on G-Bag, Miller. I'm trying to think of his first name, but he was here last year.
Brad
Miller was here. He was talking about it. It's like every time he goes out, we have a chance to see a no-hitter.
Yes. Yes.
That is that says a lot about DeGrom.
Yeah.
And the thing that does suck about all this is I hope there's not that much pressure on him because I get it. He has a big contract with us, but we're putting so much pressure on him. You have to be this guy. You have to come out this year.
Hold on. I'm going to argue. Don't you think, though, that he puts way more pressure on himself than any outside force.
No, we all do. We all do that for sure. But this is more of now he's really feeling it from the outside.
Because the two years.
You're always going to have the pressure of yourself. That's just always how it is. Every time we go pitch or whatever, we go look in the mirror. Did I do everything I needed to do? Or, you know, man, it sucks. I got to do this again, you know, going through that whole process. For him now, it's just you're hearing from, you know, obviously the fans is, oh, I got a camera. it's like, man, we need him. We need him this year. We spent so much money on him. We need to get something out of him. And then you heard Jason Stark earlier talking with Sean and RJ, and actually I should say RJ and Bobby. He was just saying that he hasn't made more than 15 starts since 2018.
Wow.
2019.
Wow.
So now I know the training staff here with the Rangers, how good they are. We can make things happen. Obviously, you can't predict Tommy John. That's the hardest thing. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But I know that they're going to get him to where he needs to be.
Kevin, you talk about reinventing yourself. The first time I ever really saw somebody that was like, I watched them be excellent at something, and then they said, well, I got to do something different, was Jason Kidd.
Becoming a better three-pointer.
Yeah, and he was like, shooter, I'm not the same guy driving to the basket. I don't even want to score around the basket anymore. He was like, I'm just going to spend my time facilitating, playing solid defense. You know, he did all these other things. He completely changed his game up so that the team could benefit. And so I understand where he's coming from in that I'm not the same person that I always was, and I'm gonna go out there and do everything. He knows how to pitch. That's the thing. Derek knows this. Mike talked about it for years, the difference between pitching and throwing. And that dude has always been. He's known how to pitch in addition to having this amazing, unhittable pitches that go along with it.
With that being said, you don't want to be a thrower. A thrower is a guy who just gets up there, lets it rip. You have no clue where it's going.
Did you ever think you were a thrower?
At times I would. And I learned the lesson from one of my pitching coaches that was actually here with the Rangers, Danny Clark. I threw a bullpen. He asked me what I was doing. I said, I'm throwing. He said a few words that we are not allowed to say on the radio. And then next thing I know, I realized what he was trying to tell me, and then I started focusing on pitching. And that's what we need to learn how to do is pitch, not throw.
Yeah.
Hit your spots.
That's where, like, Kevin, the starter for today, we saw him in the World Series. What was he doing? Keeping it low away. He was pitching because Mike Maddox is a fantastic pitching coach that knows how to get these guys a good plan that's going to be lined up for them.
I know we talked about the outside pressure specifically on DeGrom, and I don't want to add to that.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or anything, but
you are.
What are your expectations? Simple question. No. What are your expectations?
For me, I would love to see him get to, it's a big jump, but I'd like to see him get to 25 starts.
Okay.
You know, with the, and I say that because, you know, that stat of being 15 starts, I think this would be a perfect time. I think he will. He's going to be pitching. We're definitely going to be saving him. You know, we're not going to let him get burnt out, you know, using him every time. I think he's going to get to skip a couple starts here and there, I would imagine.
I think you're right.
But I think getting him to 25 starts is going to be a huge, one, confidence booster for him as well. Like, obviously, he's very confident in himself. I know he believes himself. He knows how good he is. But I think, too, it would just give him a confidence boost going into even the next year of being here.
I gotcha. All right. Well, I think.
So, what's your expectation? You can't just ask me and not tell anybody else.
6 or 7 perfect games this year.
And then. Have no complete games this year.
But every game he's going to win 1-0. You know, they're going to be like.
Well, it's always been that.
It's always weird like that when those, like, Randy Johnson would roll out there and he'd be like, dude, what am I supposed to do today, guys?
So, I said I think he'll get at least 22 starts. And I would feel pretty comfortable with that. Now, obviously, to your point, if he got to 25, that would be even closer. Now we're inching towards what feels like a full season. I know technically he could make 32 starts, but what feels like a full season for him is probably more like 25 or 27.
Okay, what about this? Would you take him making 15 starts and he gets a no-hitter, or taking 25 starts and he averages 6 innings?
That second one. Because I'm still have concerns, and I know they look great in spring training.
But he's not out for the season.
No, I have concerns about the leverage portions of our bullpen. So if I know that
20,
he can
20 starts.
And he gets a no-hitter?
And he gets a no-hitter versus 25, and he has the average of, we're going to say, 5 innings. Average.
Oh, you dropped it to 5. I'll take the 20 and the no-no. I will.
Average, though, because it could. Remember, he could still have a complete game.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Or 7. Have,
and
yeah.
I would anticipate this first game that he pitches on Sunday, he'll probably throw like 4 innings. So that's how we're going to start. Yes, I do. Oh, do you disagree?
I do. I think he'll be able to go. It's going to be more of, I think he'll have about a 75 pitch count.
Okay.
And then to
which
me,
could maybe
I think,
get you to 5.
Yeah, that's why I think he could get to 5.
Okay.
All right. So I've always kind of wondered this. When it comes to a beginning of a season, do pitchers think about Cy Young? And at what point do they start? Oh, really? They do? They start going, hey, I'm going to.
Well, you're not. Okay. It's not like first inning. Oh, man, I gave up 6 runs. There goes my Cy Young. No, we don't think about that.
That would be amazing. They tore down the poster.
Or if, like, you go the first inning, 3 strikeouts, you're like, yep, Cy Young,
shine
here it comes,
it up,
it's
boys.
Still there. No, you don't think like that. It's just you set the goal. And, yeah, I get it. Some people, like for myself, if I told somebody, yeah, my goal was to get the Cy Young, I'm like, ha, yeah, right.
Well, I mean, you said it, and then you start doing the things you work towards it. You know, you're trying to work towards it every step of the way, but I just didn't know if it was kind of in your mind as you're on the mound or anything like that.
But the thing, like...
Wait, 1 second. I'm sorry, 1 second.
Fine.
I would like Corey to create a Cy Young-a-mometer for a pitcher or pitchers of his choosing, and he can give us an update after every start.
every inning?
Yeah.
I'm going to do a graph chart. Is that what you want? Okay.
Like, this is a rough one. I'm down to 2%.
And line graph.
No hitter, 84%. So that would be fun. Go ahead.
I'm in.
I think we could see a Cy Young here, though. I think you could see it. I think Evaldi could have a really big year. And I know I said 25 starts, but I think you get to those 25 starts with DeGrom. He puts up his nasty numbers like always. I mean, that's a Cy Young guy.
Yeah. Is it ever in your mind, or were you aware of the fact that the Rangers have never won a Cy Young? Like, does anything like that come up or cross
your
mind?
Was. I know when we played right over there, that place across the street.
Oh, there
Choctaw.
It is.
It was always like a goal for every one of us. You know, it was the mindset of every starter that we had. That was stuff we talked about and trying to help each other to get those goals. That's why it was fun with that team. All those teams I played with over there, it was always a competition between the starters to see who could do better. And it didn't mean that I'm better than you.
Better.
It was just more of just trying to get better each time out.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, live from Globe Life Field for opening day. Coming up next, what is the Texas Rangers' greatest unknown for this season? 877-881-1053, Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube. Hit us up. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Derek stays right on the rubber, pushes off and comes home, and he struck him out swinging with a breaking ball. 10 strikeouts for Holland, one shy of his career high.
Yeah!
Love that.
Back here at Globe Life Field for Whataburger opening day, and I'm going to throw it over to Corey Majors for I have no idea what.
No, I'm saying that's why. You said, can you just wait and hear the
highlight? Yeah, I just wanted you to listen to the highlight. And Corey responded, is it Wyatt Langford? And I just gave up on him. I was like, I'm done.
No. Yeah, we do have Derek Holland joining us today. And I think we do have, is it Chris Young joining us here in about 20 minutes?
Yep.
So looking forward to that. Right now, Kevin, John Blake was there doing tours where they have artifacts, white gloves, where they have artifacts like Wyatt Langford's cycle helmet, one of Nolan Ryan's balls, the baseballs from his no-hitter.
That's gross.
A home
but
run
bat. But
you
want to see it, right?
It's like Tom Brady, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So my question was, and I'm going to probably ask this question a lot. Derek, when you were growing up, who were you trying? Who did you want to be?
Growing up, so my dad introduced me to Mickey Mantle. So that was one thing.
But and lefty.
Obviously, never got to see him play. But then I wanted to, as I grew up, the Braves were my favorite team. Watched them on TV all the time. So I wanted to be just like Chipper Jones. That's why I'm a switch hitter when I get up there. Can't hit. To save my life, but that's fine.
Yeah, that makes sense, though.
And then pitching-wise, Andy Pettitte was my idol.
Ah, yeah, I understand that.
So, and I tried to copy everything that he did, and it was just funny as you continued through, like, you know, you'd watch, and all of a sudden it was like, now I want to throw Barry Zito's curveball. And then it was like, I want to throw Randy Johnson's slider, Greg Maddux's changeup. Like, you were just...
What did you want to throw from Mike?
Mike. I just want to get scouting reports from Mike.
That's great.
But
that's great.
Like, that's just how it always was. And then, you know, the thing that helped me the most, since we're talking about baseball, and I'm wondering if you guys did this too. So we would set up a chair in the front yard, and we'd tape up a wiffle ball with electrical tape.
All the time.
And then that was the
all
strike
the time.
Zone. But
no
my
matter.
Brother's 6 years older than me, so he kind of dominated when it came to it.
Yeah.
And then another funny moment with him too is we were playing catch, and he kept telling me to always, I forget what it was. I think he'd always say, throw your heater or something like that, or throw the cheese or something. And I threw it one time. It went straight through the window.
Oh,
dip.
Yes. Papa Richie was not happy about that.
Sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Getz. I did dent your car once.
So do you guys have any, like, memories of that? Like,
I wanted to be Steve Buscell growing up, and I wanted to hit like Juan Gonzalez. Like, I mean, I grew up a Texas Rangers fan, and there wasn't much outside of the Rangers world that I wanted aside from being a Ranger. But being Buscell, like, the way he made diving plays and the way, like, he was a machine over there at third base. I always wanted that, but I was one of those. We played wiffle ball in the backyard, but I went and I would tape on the chain link fence a little spot
strike,
and I'd go out there and pitch nine innings, and I'd hit nine innings. You know, I'd be every batter, and I'd pitch it every single one of them. And I had this it was a Carlton Fisk wooden bat, and I had this like swing, and then I'd drop the bat and I'd celebrate, and you could hear the cheer. That's baseball, man. That's why it's romantic, dude.
We would, yeah. That was.
That's why.
It is funny, too. Like, and we're going to get to you. Don't worry.
I had big dreams.
And it's funny hearing, like, I'm not from here. So hearing guys say, like, Texas players,
yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, yeah, I got you there. That's the big thing, too, is hearing Texas talent from being in Ohio. Like, you never got to see Texas baseball.
Yeah. No, and that's what we were. I mean, we didn't have a lot of channels either to access other baseball at the time.
Sure.
It was that and Ozzie Smith. I mean, you know, I was like, I'm never going to be Ozzie Smith.
TBS was kind of out there and open to everybody.
TBS and WGN, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it probably won't surprise you to know, Corey, I had big dreams. And so have you ever seen the movie My Blue Heaven?
Yes.
All right.
Steve Martin.
It's got Rick Moranis and Steve Martin. And Steve Martin's like in the witness protection plan. I'm not going to go through the whole movie with you, but at the end they legitimately or not, raise a whole bunch of money and build a brand new ballpark for the kids to play baseball and everything.
So you were trying to raise money for a ballpark.
Oh, I was going to build it in my mind. And so when we moved in to the house that my mom had built, it was in like a newer kind of subdivision, and there were still a bunch of empty lots right across from me, multiple empty lots. Now, they were still filled with a bunch of crap and trash and all of that. And I was like, you know what? I was a kid, but I was like, if I clean that up, that's my land now. And I was envisioning building a Little League ballpark. And what I really wanted to do is build the first ever Little League dome ballpark. And it would be right across the street from my house. So I would be like, hey, great. I didn't really think through that I can't just clean something up and go, that's mine now. I mean, and like, I didn't have any money for building supplies. But at multiple times, me and some of the kids cleaned up parts of that plot. And then eventually they sold it because, you know, it didn't actually belong to us. And my dreams were crushed. And I always hated that house across the street from us because they took my ballpark away.
That's that is the true definition of dreaming big.
Yeah.
Building your own dome
Hell
next
yeah.
to your house.
Yeah.
It's like your Lambeau field or something.
Over.
You're
going
to try
yes,
to do that.
Yes, exactly.
That would be
people would just park in the neighborhood.
go to the dome.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you have called it?
Oh, I don't know if I thought that far.
Oh, man. I never thought about that either.
See, I would love to tell you that I had marketing savvy at the age of 12 or whatever, and
well,
I was like,
you had
the highest bidder. Yeah.
You were already rolling something
that was
out
your land
ballpark.
Already.
Yeah, the now, ballpark in on Haglundville.
Yeah.
I will say before, because I know you're trying to jump to it, I would do the same thing. Me and my brother and the neighborhood that we lived in, we did a baseball field, and I'm talking dirt lines.
Yes.
Built up our own mound, everything, cut the grass. And then the landlord that owned the property around that, well, in the neighborhood, would take his big tractor and he would do our outfield for us. It was awesome.
Dude, that is awesome. And that's like, Corey, you talked about, you used a specific phrase yesterday and I was like, that's spot on.
Great.
Is the romanticism about baseball, and you can make that argument about some other sports as well, but like, it all starts with kids just, whether it's picking up a basketball, picking up a football, grabbing a bat, or making a ball, as we discussed, and figuring out a way to make it happen. And, like, you love to see those people progress into, holy crap, I'm in a major league ballpark.
You have a whole summer of dreams.
Yes.
You know, like, when that's one of the great things about baseball being in summertime is because you go to sleep that night after you heard your favorite pitcher, you know, pitch a complete game. You wake up the next morning, you're like, I got to go do that. You know, like, it's a whole summer of baseball dreams. And that's why I think as a kid, you keep those memories. That's another question I was kind of hoping to ask, you know, CY and Michael Young and you, Derek. When you went up to the, when as a pro, when you went up to the mound, were there ever times that you felt like you carried that kid with you, that little Derek Holland?
That, oh, that kid was always with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you think
no matter what.
What a great question.
The way that Don Cockstein, he was the psychiatrist here, and he's with the Mavericks, he would always call it, you know, we'd talk about it being the little green man. And to me, that was just little Derek just wanting to run around and go crazy. So that, to me, yes, every time you step foot on the field, I don't care if it was day one or the last time I ever got to play baseball in the big leagues, you walked out every single time. I was like, man, this is what I wanted to be as a kid. Like, I'm here. I'm doing it. And I'm continuing to do it. That's the crazy part. That's why it's funny. I can't wait to hear their sides of it. Because we all, everybody has a different experience, but they all feel the exact same way. You all get butterflies. It doesn't matter. Game one today, I don't care what those guys try to say inside. They get butterflies before they go out there, 100%, because you're so anxious to get out there. You're so excited. You want to perform well. It all hits you all at once.
I don't know if we've ever asked you this before.
Well, go ahead.
All right. You talked about from the first time you went out there to the last time. When it was the last time, did you have any idea it would be the last time?
Man, when I blew out, I was an independent ball, and it's really crazy is I remember the feeling. So I threw the ball and I thought my, from my elbow down, disconnected. I thought that part of my arm was like gone with the catcher.
Yeah.
And then I remember looking down and then the TV static feeling went through my arm. And then I was like, oh, okay, it's back together. You know, it didn't go anywhere.
Of it.
And then I just remember like as the coach came out or the manager, he came out there and I was like, man, it's just something didn't feel right. Like it burned, it popped, and it's like, it just feels weird. And then when I looked down, it was like a grapefruit on my elbow.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, we got to take you out. And I was like, just let me try to throw. And then he told me, he's like, no, you can't. We have a team here that is very interested in you. Let's do the smart move and get you out. So as soon as I got in, as always, you get pissed, slam my glove down. And next thing I know, I realized, yep, that was it. And then as I sat there trying to figure out what was going on, every thought goes through your mind. Is this it? This was my final pitch. And then I finally got the phone call from Dr. Meister. Your elbow is bleeped.
Mm.
And that's when I was
does
like,
does he
right,
use that
done.
Language?
Yeah, he's
no,
just
he
bleeped.
Did not. He
okay, goes, I was just curious if he was like, oh, yeah, you're, well,
he was like, no, your elbow's not what you think it is anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to get a new elbow.
I'm sorry. I appreciate you sharing that story.
But
with
it,
us,
it's,
though.
I will say, we tell our kids all the time, too. This could be the last time you ever play the game of baseball. You never know. And one of the kids, I'm kind of sharing his story. He was playing, hits a home run. He's been doing really good for us. Jacob Binder's his name. Celebration. I've seen this happen before. Blows out his knee, tore his ACL and his meniscus. And as we said it all the time. And we said it to him, but we know it will not be because this kid is just determined. He's a fighter. He's going to continue to keep plugging. But that could be his last game ever.
Yeah.
It's in it. Now, trust me, nobody wants it to be. I don't want it to be. He's got a good head on his shoulders. I know he's going to do what he needs to do, but that's how you kind of have to look at some things.
Kevin, as I was pulling up today, I was walking up and I saw kids right out here throwing the ball. And like that's the thing. This parking lots that are all around here are going to have kids out here skipping school today, throwing the ball with each other, and they all are thinking, I want to be like Corey Seager. I want to be Marcus Semien. I want to go be the next Derek Holland out there. And it's like that's why opening day has the buzz outside, and they all bring it back into this place.
It is cool to see that. You love that as a player when you're driving up and you see kids.
Yes.
It just makes you go back to what you were before. It's like, man, that's cool. That's what I did.
And I like hearing some of these stories because of what Corey brought up from the 682. We use broomsticks and bottle caps.
That's that Vlad Guerrero.
In Venezuela. Yep. We painted, from Tolo Anthony, we painted a diamond at the end of our dead-end street because, like, there is nobody in that moment that can tell you that you and all of your friends are not going to make the major leagues, right? Like, I realize the statistical improbability, but you're like, oh, yeah, we're all going to make it. We're all going to be together. Yeah. And we're all going to be friends forever. Like, there's a lot kind of built into that.
Even if that trash can has to be first base and that pole second
for
and
sure.
that glove over
for
there is
sure.
third and this is home plate. Like, that's, you did whatever you could to make the game happen, man.
There's that whole saying, too, that you talk about the kids in the neighborhood. You never know when it's going to be the last time you guys actually play together or see each other in your neighborhood. But with that too, like, this is what kind of gets me, is I feel like technology's taken over too, is video games and all that. I don't see as many kids out and about, like, playing, like you talk about what we did, like going to the park. There's a couple parks around my neighborhood and I don't see too many kids out there. Like, it's I mean, I see cricket every once in a while, but that's,
sure.
that's not from the kids. Those are just older adults playing that. But it's like, you don't really see as much. Same thing with, like, basketball or any of the, you know, any outdoor sport. You don't really see as much going on outside as it was when, like, not like we're grandpas or anything, but, you know, when we were
pretty
kids.
Old, bro. Yeah. So from the 318, I think you guys will all agree on this. Excuse me, 314. Is it lame to grab one opening day ticket and go by myself?
No.
Nobody can go with me.
Go.
Because you're going to have 40,000 instant friends.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. No, like, but everybody here sitting with is going to be like, hey, yeah, Rangers!
Yeah, and you get to watch some stories. Maybe you're going to see a dad and son combo, and you're going to be like, hey, you know what? Let me get them a drink or something, you know?
You might make your own story.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
I like that. Very poetic. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with Texas Rangers President of Baseball Operations, Chris Young, live from Globe Life Field on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Whataburger opening day out here at Globe Life Field. And right now we bring to you Texas Rangers President of Baseball Operations. It is Chris Young. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys.
Now, I know you made your actual debut in 2004, but I wanted to know, what's that vibe like on opening day 2005? Because, like, you see, it's just staff now, but people are pouring in. I know people are tailgating. What was the opening day vibe like for you as a player?
Well, it's a very special day. It's a special day for baseball. It's a special day for the players, for the front office members, and it's the most special day for the fans, I think. I think it's just a tremendous day where it's sort of the celebration of spring and summer and what's right. ahead, and just the excitement in the community. It's awesome. So I think as a player, you feel that, you feed off that, and then, you know, you still know there's 161 more after this,
right.
but there's something a little bit more special about opening day.
Now, somebody texted in a little later, and they said, is it okay if I come by myself? I couldn't get anyone to come with me and just bought one ticket. And we said, you're instantly going to have, like, 40,000 brand-new friends, don't you think?
That's exactly right. I encourage anybody, just come out and see the game and come by yourself, come with your friends, whatever you want to do, but just don't miss it.
Now, one of your mantras is be a good teammate. And I've always wanted to know, kind of, if you can kind of define that a little better. What are the little things that they do on and off the field that make them a good teammate? And how did Jock and Jake Berger fit into that when you're like, good teammates?
Well, the simple way of putting it in my mind is showing up to the ballpark on a daily basis, committed to the team goals before your own personal goals. And sometimes those are aligned and sometimes they're not, but the team goals come first. And are you doing things on a daily basis that's going to enhance the environment and make the people around you better? And there are times where you have to be individually focused and you have to come in and know what your routine is and what you have to do that day to be successful, but you can never let that interfere with what the collective goals are of the group. And it's hard to perfectly define, but I think, you know, ultimately, it's on us, the front office, to choose players who we believe are going to embody those characteristics and then create the environment and the accountability where the players are going to live up to that. And I hope that we have done that. Certainly, Jock, with all of the background work we've done, I've known Jock for a while. The people that we have reached out to, his former teams, colleagues of mine that run respective teams that he has played for, nobody says a bad word about Jock. They talk about what a teammate he is, how committed he is to the collective group, how humble he is, and how he enhances that environment. And for me, that's everything we're looking for when we talk about be a good teammate.
Is it tough when you have a player like that, and let's use Dane Dunning as an example, who feels like he embodies all of that, but then this is a results-driven business. How tough is that disconnect when you're like, hey, you've got the qualities we want, we're just not getting this other part?
Yeah, and that's a really tough spot. It's a tough thing for me because I have such personal affection for these guys, and I care about them as people as much as I do as players. And you know, but we are forced to make tough decisions. And two of the mantras that really govern my playing career, I always keep in mind. And it's one, that it's a performance-based game.
Yeah.
And two, the game owes us nothing. Any one of us. Nobody is owed anything in this game, and it's a performance-based game. And so as much as some of the players may embody our core values, there's also this other element that it is a performance-based, and we owe it to our fans to put the best team out on the field. And our hope with Dane especially is that he's going to go down to AAA. He's going to get back to form. We know how good he is when he's right, and we're going to try to iron out some mechanical glitches that have popped up and get him back up here, because we know he can be one of our 13 best pitchers and help us try to win another championship.
Now, we've always thought this. We grew up here. East Dallas kid. Kevin's a Garland kid. We grew up Rangers fans. DFW fans are too nice. All right. So what is your ideal way of how Rangers fans can make this a real home field advantage?
Well, just to be loud and rowdy, just to be engaged in the game and big moments where, you know, there's a pivotal pitch or a pivotal at bat, and just being engaged in the game. And, you know, this ballpark is so great, and I think it's easy to come in here and just sit back and relax and watch a ball game. And we want our fans to do that. But we also need our fans to provide that competitive edge that you get when you feel the fans. I've been out on that mound, and I know what it's like when you feel the stadium rocking, and you reach back and you get a little extra adrenaline, and you can find that extra mile per hour, whatever you may need. And so just to have our fans supporting us in that way, I think back to the postseason 2 years ago and how it felt in this building. It was electric. I'm not sure there was a better atmosphere in baseball. And for our fans to bring that energy, it creates a home field advantage. Our players feel it. We feed off of it. And when you come out here today and throughout the year, bring that energy, bring that spirit, and it'll help us win a lot of games.
Now, I know you talked about you could hear the fans. Was there ever a flip side to it where somebody said something that was mean-spirited, but you're like, that's pretty clever? And you had to, like, I'll give it to them. Like, that hurt my feelings, but that was very clever.
You know, yes, there were several moments, a lot of moments in my career where there were fans yelling some mean-spirited things at me. And that's part of it. When a fan buys a ticket, they have the right to say that. And I always lived, at the end of my career especially, I started to live with some guilt on days where I didn't perform well, and just thought there may be one fan who came to this game today, and this was the game he saw, he or she or a child saw, and I let them down as the home team. And I started to live with some guilt at the end of my career on that. I don't want our players thinking that way, because that's part of baseball, and that's what happens when you come to any one game. That said, you know, I want all of our fans, when they show up here, to feel like they are going to get a great product, they're going to get an exciting team, and that they have a chance to win on every given night.
Well, speaking about today's game short term, and I'm sorry if I've already missed the lineup, is the plan to use Corey Seager at DH today?
You know, I actually have not seen the lineup yet. I'm waiting on the medical report from Corey. He's dealing with a little bit of a tight calf. We don't want to put him in harm's way, so my hope is that Corey's going to play shortstop today, but if not, I think he's likely to DH, and that'll impact the rest of the lineup, but I think they're waiting for some medical clearance downstairs, and as soon as we get that, we'll have the lineup posted and know how we're going to attack this today.
Yeah. Now, as we were talking about this a few minutes ago, and Derek said he loves seeing that as a player, driving up, seeing kids throwing the ball outside on opening day, getting excited and pumped. When you were a kid, who did you want to be? Who were you trying to be when you were growing up?
I mean, this is easy for me. It was Nolan. Nolan came to the Rangers in 1989, it changed my love for baseball. I mean, I, at that point, was a catcher. I wanted then to pitch. I wanted to watch every start he had. It changed my love of the game. And really, that's what the beauty of the sport is that you have role models, and I want our players to be that for this community. I want our players to be the role models for the next generation of Major League players that are growing up in DFW or across Texas, and say, I want to be like that Texas Ranger. I want to be like Jacob deGrom or Nathan Eovaldi or Corey Seager or Marcus Semien and Wyatt Langford, and that's the goal. I know what it meant to me, how it impacted my life. It's my connection to this franchise, and my hope is that someday and 25-30 years, the next general manager of the Texas Rangers, grew up in DFW loving this team the same way, and you know, one of these players inspired them to pursue their dream.
And hopefully own this baseball card, yes, of Nolan Ryan in a tuxedo. This was one of my favorite cards from 91 Stadium Club. I was like, that's awesome.
You know, Nolan in that picture is probably my age right now, and I couldn't hold that pose. I can tell you that. It's pretty impressive, yeah.
I was always trying to be Steve Buscemi at third base and Juan Gonzalez at the plate. I was like, if I can be that, I'll make it to the bigs.
So was your glove better or your bat then?
It was definitely the bat back then. Yeah, definitely the bat. Yeah. We see you at spring training, and you're up there alone, by yourself, scribbling. You're taking down everything that's going on in the game on a day like opening day. Feel like you're going to have to talk to a lot of people. Is your focus a little bit different on opening day?
Yeah, but you know, the pregame stuff is different than in-game. I always say once the game starts, and for any of my friends and family listening right now, I hope you guys know that once the game starts, I'm not ignoring you. I'm just locked in. That's my job. It's my hours where I'm evaluating the team. I'm watching. I'm strategically evaluating and making sure that we're doing everything possible to try to win the game. So I kind of, my year one, I used to have a lot of people coming to games and saying, hey, I'm here, stop by, see me. And I tried to make time for everybody, and I realized, like, I'm missing the game. It's the most critical part of my job, and I'm missing it. And so I sort of changed my personal policy to, once the game starts, I'm locked in, and I don't show up at my friends' offices when they're
right
at work. And
right.
I appreciate them coming out and supporting us, but I'm not going to see you during the 3 hours of the game.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of logistics, we talked about Corey Seager just a little bit. I'm curious, how is Josh Young doing? Because I know scratch from the last few games. How do we feel about him? Not just today, but like going forward.
Yeah, JJ, he had a little bit of neck tightness. Slept on his neck wrong, I believe, and had some spasm. We've all had that before. It took a few days for that to calm down, but he's in a great spot. Was feeling good yesterday. Went through the workout. And as far as I know, he's going to be at third base today. He's feeling good and hopefully hit a home run or two.
And I'm not saying that you don't have these same concerns, but you understand the concerns of the fans for whether it's Seager, Young, some of the players who have been hurt. When you hear anything, you're almost like, oh, no.
Yeah, and the thing I would tell our fans regarding that, I feel the same way. I get a pit in my stomach the first time I get a medical report. And, in fact, this morning I got a positive medical report on Cody Bradford, who his 2 or 3 week checkup went well. I think his 2+ week checkup went pretty well. And our trainer started the day by texting me, and I said, you know, normally you provide bad news. I said, that's the way to start opening day right there. So I gave him a hard time. But, you know, I do. I feel the same way the fans do when you hear these things, because my job is to worry about what can go wrong. And so I do believe that one, championship teams face adversity all year long, that we are going to have bumps in the road, we're going to have injuries, and what we have is a group of guys and hopefully the depth on the roster that the next guy is going to step up and fill in, and you hope that the injuries aren't to the point where the player is going to miss the majority or bulk of the season, if not all the season, and at some point we'll be back. But championship teams, championship mentality, you're going to have injuries, and you face that adversity head on. It's next man up, step up, get the job done, and then at some point the regular player will be back. And that's the mentality, and you know, we don't feel sorry for ourselves, and so that's the goal for us this year, is to stay healthy, and when we do have those injuries, hey, somebody else is going to step up and get it done, and we'll find a way.
I know you were a stud basketball player too, and that mindset of coach, point guard, they're kind of an extension, right? That was always the mindset. It feels like Evaldi's personality is an extension to you, and an extension to like what you want every Ranger to be like. And you're fortunate to have him taking the bump today.
Well, Evo's a much better person than I am. He's a tremendous competitor. He's amazing. I admire him. I look up to him. Just how talented he is, but the person he is, and he does. He embodies everything that we want in our players, and just so excited to watch him today. I know he's geared up. He's facing his former team, and he's ready to go, and I can't wait to watch him.
You've talked about meritocracy throughout this interview, essentially, when it comes to getting your spot. For Leiter, for Rocker, can you tell us more about what they did to get that spot? And then I guess my next question is, with Patrick Corbin or Cody Bradford or whatever, can those two pitch well enough to keep their spots in the rotation?
Absolutely. Absolutely, they can pitch well enough to keep their spot. Like I said, it's a performance-based game, and they continue to perform. We saw flashes in spring training from both of them. We also saw some moments where they weren't as good as they can be. And we're going to see that throughout the year, too. But I think the key is that on their bad days, can they keep us in the game and give us a chance to win? And on their good days, we are going to win because they're talented enough that they're going to have great games and they're going to shut the opponents down. But can we have more good games than bad? And on those bad days, can they keep us in the game? And I think that's critical. But they can absolutely earn full-time spots in the rotation. You know, our hope is that they evolve into mid to frontline starting pitchers in time. We don't expect them to be that, and we don't need them to be that right now. But over time, can they evolve into that? And as I said, it's a performance-based game. We are here to win, and the players who perform are going to get the opportunity.
I got to know real quick, and we've been talking about this all spring training, do you also have Alejandro Osuna fever? Because we've talked about that all
Kevin's
spring training.
In love with this guy. How can you not, right? Yeah. I mean, you watch this guy in spring training, and I, you know, I was worried that Boch was going to just absolutely make me keep him on the roster. But you know, my hope is that we'll see him. He's, you know, had half a season at Double A. We're going to get him some more experience, make sure he passes all the tests before he comes up here. And at some point, you know, my hope is that these guys play well enough and we stay healthy enough that maybe we don't need him this year. But there's the possibility that he plays his way onto this roster at some point. And the way we saw him play this spring, fearless, relentless mentality, just elevates everybody around him. Talking about being a good teammate, I think he won our Teammate of the Year last year award. He's just a tremendous person and brings a grit and determination that is infectious. And my expectation is we're going to see him at some point.
I love it. I know you got a busy schedule today. Thank you so much, Chris Young, for jumping on with us opening day right here on your home at the Texas Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we missed it earlier. We will get back to it. What is your biggest question mark about the team heading into the season? Let's talk about it next, live from Globe Life Field on 105.3 The Fan.